Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Amen. Again, today's text for the message, like last weekend, like the next 2 weeks, it's the epistle, that's a fancy word for letter, the epistle appointed each week. I'll tell you why in a minute. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and after all I've said already this morning, you might be able to guess the little short line I'm going to emphasize. We preach Christ crucified. Amen. Not the end of the sermon yet, but it could be. I mean, that's it. Before I explain, let me share that, yes, there's a little bit of a sermon series here. And for a particular reason, we are, especially if you're new to us today, we are preparing in 2 weeks, March 17th, for our Found in Christ, Forward in Christ Commitment Sunday as we move through this transition year and now embark again on the calling of the resident pastor, Found in Christ, Forward in Christ. I spend almost a whole nother sermon in the announcements going through some things. If you weren't here last week, you need to pick up from the table in the narthex the report from our transition team. We'll have it at the voters meeting afterwards. At that meeting, besides some quick regular business, we'll spend all our time on this and praying for our call committee. Last week also, we went through in my long announcements the grace effects, your charisma. That's the word in Greek, your grace results. All those spiritual gifts that are mentioned in the Bible, you've got one or two or more. And there's a little inventory also on the narthex table where you can go through and see where God might be using you in your daily life and also connected with church ministries. Months ago, as I and the transition team, along with the board of stewardship, were looking at these Sundays, we knew this stuff would be coming. But I looked at these appointed epistles, and I said, hey, there's a theme there, too, of some good messages. Just recently, I realized there is, I can see it, a common theme through them all, and it is, in a word, the gift. Different facets of God's gift to you. Last week we had the gift purchase on the basis of Romans 5, that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Before you were born, everything was done by the Savior to pay for your forgiveness and your salvation and for your service and following Him. Even longer than 2,000 years ago, I emphasize Revelation 13. At the foundation of the world, God had it in mind. It was done for the people of the Old Testament too. You've got it. What a way to start, right? It's all done. We're just watching it unfold. And indeed, today, I think you see here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the gift presented, wrapped, but in a most unusual, indeed unique, one-of-a-kind way. Nothing else like it in the history of the world. Because the gift is wrapped and presented, today's theme, in the cross. Wow. The cross. You know, I didn't touch base with Sharon about the bulletin cover, but Sharon, I'm glad you picked the picture you did. Instead of an ornate cross, it's the old rugged cross kind of on the bulletin cover. It's important to remember what that cross really meant. As God wrapped up His gift and gifts, all he gives to humanity, to you. An illustration I sometimes use is, imagine this. You're walking through a local park, and you look down, and you see there a used syringe. And you say, hey, that's a symbol I want. And you take that syringe, and you tie it around your neck, and you wear it proudly. It's even worse with the cross. Who knows where that syringe has been, right, or what it was used for. It is actually used for executions, right, in some states. The cross, even more, it was an instrument of execution and the ugliest torture humans ever invented. We're going to hear about it at Good Friday. And we wear it. That's God's gift to us. The cross. That's why Paul says in this text, it's ridiculous to those who are perishing. People that don't have the Holy Spirit in their hearts to see the meaning, the wonderful meaning of the cross. They think it's folly, ridiculous. But to us who are being saved, we've got the Spirit working in us. We know it's at that cross that we see the power of God. But we still are tempted to miss it. You know, Paul in this section describes Jews demand signs, Greeks seek wisdom. We're not going to talk about those particular ethnic groups, Jews and Gentiles. Those are two good categories to show the opposite view. So many people in our world just can't handle the cross. Even in Christian circles, there are people who say, we got to see some signs and evidence with our eyes, or touch with our hands. There's God's gifts to us. Some, even in Christ's name, the success theologians you hear about, health and wealth, right, is what God gives you. There you go. Now you can tell. That's similar to the Jews wanting signs and miracles like they did in John chapter 2. That's not what we proclaim. God gives them as we need them. But that's not the main point. Nor is wisdom. There are also so many, especially in our Western world, that want explanations and answers for everything. And the fact that God would come and then die on the cross just seems absurd. It doesn't fit logic, let alone practicality. So how is this used? I will promote here in the sermon what I often include in the announcements, our devotion books as you exit. Again, the special book for Lent from Lutheran Hour Ministries. But also, we just started the March readings, Portals of Prayer, who I didn't look up the author, Aaron Cook from Wisconsin. He does what I see all the authors do. Every page, you see the work of Jesus Christ. That's why we recommend these. I hear about devotional materials, even about my sermons and Bible studies. You know, we want some practical things being given to us, and we can from the Bible find so many practical things. But our message must always be, even in those, Christ crucified. Nothing more, nothing less. I will share a little revealing story about my family to make a point here. When my mother died after years of battling MS, my sisters and I were at the grave site for the committal, Huntington Beach, California. And after everything was done, we talked about her tombstone. I've shared with some of you privately, my mom was a bit neurotic and OCD. Everything had to be exactly right. Now you know where this pastor gets it, I suppose. But in her later years in MS, where she couldn't really even move out of the bed, we had to do everything in her residence for her. In fact, even arranged stuff on her shelf. And Mom was so picky and particular. If you put something there, she'd say, no, 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 no. It needs to be turned around that way. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now, wait, it needs to be further back. And I mean, you just get so frustrated. And she thought she always had reasons. I joked with my sisters. I can remember this like it was yesterday as we talked about what was going to be on Mom's tombstone. I said, it should read Catherine, Virginia. Just a little bit to the left. And everybody that knew her would laugh and have some joy at her grave. We weren't mocking our mother. Indeed, I'm going to mention her as an illustration of something so serious in a minute and inspiring, I think. But if I had to pick my tombstone, I would pick either 2 Timothy chapter 4, that he preached the word, or this, he preached Christ crucified. Don't you want that as your epitaph for your whole life, whatever you do, that people through you, the one thing they saw for sure was Christ crucified, the atoning work of Jesus Christ, forgiving their sins, giving them eternal life. He is working through you in the most unusual, even for you, unique ways. Paul makes it practical here. I can't cover everything, but he says, consider your calling, brothers. God is working through you. Not many of you were wise, not many powerful, etc. But God chose what is foolish in this world to shame the wise. It is the foolish people in this congregation. I would even say those who are ignorant or don't know much about their Bible and maybe confused. God's using so powerfully. They're hanging in there. They're coming, trying to get questions answered. Maybe a little mixed up. There's the cross shining through. The weak. I do emphasize a lot. You've heard me, and I say to people particular, those who come with physical challenges. We had some in first service. We got some here. Physically weak, like my mother with her MS, almost to her dying day, making it to God's house. They do more strong things than the elected leaders and pastors of the church. Powerful, powerful things. The low and despised. Jesus said, children, girls, Jonathan, you are the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said, even more than the grown-ups. Indeed, things that are not, things we can't see with our eyes or explain in our head, those God shows through them what lasts forever. But Paul makes the point, therefore, humbling, so no one can boast. Indeed, all glory comes to God. A preview of next week's sermon from Ephesians chapter 2. Because of him, you are in Christ Jesus. God does it all, even gives you by his Spirit the trust through his word and the sacraments to receive him. A gift beyond indeed imagination. But for now, there are facets we should share. He, the source of your life in Christ Jesus, gives you, therefore, did you notice the last verse? Wisdom. Real wisdom from God is always revolving around the cross. You're sharing the cross in everything you do. We got it in Christ. Righteousness. We are right with God. Start, middle, end of anything we do. Sanctification. He's making holy, literally, what we're doing, us poor sinners. And finally, redemption. I mentioned last week that Paul often uses the word salvation for what we're going to see. And redemption, he does the same thing. We're aiming towards the vision of this perfected. We're found in Christ now, to use our theme for March 17th, and we're moving forward in Christ. Speaking of family members, I'm going to use one member of our family for illustrations, not only here, but upcoming. I have a child now, 26, almost 27 years old, who is gift-wrapped challenged. Some of you giggled, and you know what I mean. Gift-wrapped challenged. She, you already know who it is, cannot wrap a gift to save her life. I mean, even now as an adult, thank God she doesn't have to do that to be saved. But we always know which gift, Lydia, it is, if you don't know, has put under the Christmas tree. You can tell. They're a mess. But here's the kicker. Lydia gives the best gifts. Don't tell the others. But we all know it. She's got the most sensitive soul, and she always gets the right thing for people. The wrapping, however, we see that God gives us all his gifts. These weeks, always, it's at the cross, that ugly cross that took away all your ugliness. And at the resurrection that we indeed see the gift presented. Amen.